and accepted Krishna consciousness. What's that for? Oh, offering to Srila Prabhupada. So, those days, there are many devotees, but there are very few Indians. And today I can see that there are so many of you from India. That's obviously very enlivening. And it would be nice to see the equal number of Australians also. Because Srila Prabhupada created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. In that respect, I recall one instant when Srila Prabhupada was in Kenya, Nairobi. Devotees there brought important Indians to come and meet Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was naturally happy to meet them. But when they left, Srila Prabhupada called those devotees, and asked them, "Did I come to Africa to meet the Indians? Where are the Africans?" So the devotees next day went out and got the Africans to come and meet Srila Prabhupada. In a way, I was also thinking that Prabhupada would ask here, "I came to Australia, where are the Australians?" So please make it a point to invite the Australians also to come to this program. Because this Krishna consciousness movement meant for only some certain groups of people? Or it's meant for everyone? How many of you think that Krishna consciousness is for everyone? Yes. Therefore, we must make it available to everyone. People may not recognize that. People may not understand the importance of Krishna consciousness. But we have to make them understand. How many of you are convinced about Krishna consciousness? How many of you think that this is the most important thing that a human being can be involved in? Can you raise your hands a little higher so that I can see better? Thank you. So, now if you found something that is very, very precious, that is very, very valuable, that's very important for everyone, will you just keep it to yourself? How many of you want to just keep it for yourself? When you get something very precious, very valuable? No one. I can see that you are very generous personalities. And how many of you want to distribute it to others? Thank you. So Krishna consciousness is the most precious thing, most important thing, is the rarest thing, not only in this material nature, is the rarest of all objects, even in the spiritual domain, in the spiritual sky. So when you got this very precious spiritual wealth, we should distribute it to others. Krishna came and did it. But in order to do that, Krishna had to assume a very special identity. And who is that? Krishna? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna himself could distribute it in this way. In order to distribute this most precious spiritual object, Krishna became a devotee. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, when we are representing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when we are following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what should be our mood? Miserly or magnanimous?
Magnanimous.
Therefore, please make it a point to distribute Krishna consciousness to everyone. We are in Australia, so we must have the Australians to come and participate. Take it. Indian population is only few, but the Australian population is the majority. So when the Australians take to Krishna consciousness, what will happen? We'll need probably 1,000 temples like this in Melbourne. And won't it be wonderful? Thank you.
Ashtuttarishatu Shri Shiman Abhay Charanarabindu Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayom Vishnupad Paramhamsa Paribrajita Charjo Ashtuttarishatu Shri Shiman Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Shri Mayapur Navadiv Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Shamubeto Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande. All glories to the Ascended Devotees. All glories to the Ascended Devotees. All glories to the Ascended Devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Guru. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatta. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah. Hare Krishna, can you all move forward a little bit? At least that will make the atmosphere warmer. And we need it in this cold Melbourne. Please come forward. Hare Krishna. So, I've been asked to speak on a very relevant and important topic. Srila Prabhupada's position in ISKCON as the founder acharya. For many years, the governing body of ISKCON had been considering this very important consideration for the proper propagation of Krishna consciousness through ISKCON. And we also felt that to hold ISKCON together, this factor is very, very important and essential. And while discussing this topic, we will be delving into some rather sensitive issues, and I presume that you all will take that in the right spirit. Generally, when you come and speak to a gathering, like we generally discuss about general philosophy and Krishna's pastimes and so forth. But today we are going to discuss about the institution of ISKCON, what it is meant to achieve, and how we can continue the mission that Srila Prabhupada so systematically established. With the consideration that you all are loyal members of ISKCON, how many of you identify yourselves as members of ISKCON? Please. Very good. So that is important, because it's a kind of a topic that we are going to discuss with our own people. This is not something that we are going to go out and tell people. This is something that it's a family business, a family topic. The family topics, you don't go to the marketplace and discuss. The family topics you generally discuss within the closed doors with the inmates of the family. So about 7 years ago, the governing body of ISKCON, the GBC, created or considered the importance and the need of strategic planning to push this movement forward. We felt the need to strategically plan how we are going to push this movement forward. This meeting took place in Italy, in Prabhupada. And we created various committees. And one such committee was Srila Prabhupada's position committee. In order to establish ISKCON and expand the mission of ISKCON, we needed to plan in a systematic way, in a strategic way, and we needed to create various committees to achieve that. And one such committee was Srila Prabhupada's position. And Srila Prabhupada's position in ISKCON as the founder Acharya. And we have been meeting every year, twice every year,
One's the annual general meeting in Mayapur, and the other was the midterm GBC meeting in October. It used to be, it's mainly, well, it started off in Italy, but then we started to have these meetings in India, mostly in Bombay, then once we had in Tirupati, and this year also in October we'll have this meeting in Tirupati. And in these two meetings a year, we had been discussing about the topics that we have been assigned with. Like for example, we were in the committee of Srila Prabhupada's position. And then we had in-depth discussions, extensive in-depth discussions. And then we came to a point of recognizing and establishing Srila Prabhupada as the founder Acharya of ISKCON in a systematic way that the world of ISKCON will recognize that, and for the future it will be firmly established for the benefit of the movement. For that we decided that there has to be a position paper. We have to write it down why it is important. What does it mean, Prabhupada as a founder Acharya, and why it is necessary. Then about 3 years back, one of our very brilliant members of our society, Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, is a profound thinker and a prolific writer. He actually came up with some point. He put these points together. What we discussed for so many years, he put that into few points. And that was only about 4 or 5 pages, came to only 4 or 5 pages. And then we felt the need of expanding that concept. What was presented in these few pages, it needed to be expanded for the clarification and systematically establish it for everyone's recognition and approval. And Rabindra Sarup Prabhu took about 3 years to make extensive research and in-depth studies. And then finally, he came up with this book called Srila Prabhupada, the Founder Acharya of ISKCON. It's about 120 pages. So you can well imagine when such a brilliant personality takes about 3 years, like how extensively he must have researched and studied. And mind you, Rabindra Sarup Prabhu is one of the most brilliant devotees of ISKCON. He's a PhD from Penn University of Pennsylvania, which is a very, very prestigious university. And so we have come out with this book. This year, during the GBC meeting, this book was released, and we wanted to distribute this book extensively to the devotees of ISKCON so that everybody can study it and understand it and act according to that understanding for the benefit of this movement. Is it important for ISKCON to be properly established and extend? For, like in simple words, we can say that is it important for ISKCON to be properly established for the benefit of the world? Like, the whole world is suffering today. The whole world is ridden with so many crises. Now, so far, did anybody found any solution to these problems? Various leaders, political leaders and other kind of leaders are trying, I'm sure they're trying their best, but so far they haven't been able to find any solution to the problems. The problems are not decreasing, the problems are increasing with the passing of time. And will it be a vain or false claim to say that ISKCON has found the solution? How many of you think that ISKCON has the solution to the world problems? Thank you. In simple words, I will say that did you have problems in your lives? And ever since you have accepted the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, did your problems decrease or increase?
Decrease.
Did you find a solution to your problems ever since you took to Krishna consciousness?
Yes.
That's why we all are here. So if individually our problems have been solved, then if we put it in a larger sphere, apply it in a larger sphere, will it produce, will it generate the same result?
Yes.
Huh? So whoever takes to Krishna consciousness, his problems will be solved. Now if the whole world takes to Krishna consciousness, will the world have any problem? Right. What is the basic problem? The real problem in this world is that people have rejected Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Creator and the Supreme Maintainer, if we reject Him, can there be any peace and prosperity in our lives? If I go to your house and stay in your house but don't accept your authority, your ownership of the house, can I live there peacefully? And very soon you'll kick me out. Now we are living in the house of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. He is the creator and he is the maintainer. He is supplying everything that we need. And we don't want to accept Him. So how can there be peace in our life? So is it surprising that this world is full of problems today? That they have because they have rejected Krishna. Now what is the solution? Solution is very simple. Just accept Him. And especially when that personality who is not only the Supreme Creator and the Supreme Proprietor, but He is our dear most friend. He is our Supreme Father. We are living in our Father's house, who is taking care of us in all respects. So why shouldn't we accept Him? He is our dear most friend. He is our Supreme Well-Wisher. He is supplying everything that we need. But still we don't want to accept Him. So naturally our lives will be full of problems. And the solution is very simple. Just accept Him. And as we discussed, like when I asked you, did your problems get solved? And most of you answered yes. And why did it get solved? Because you have accepted your dear most friend and Supreme Father. Because you have accepted Him, Since you started to see everything in that perspective, in that light, you begin to see how wonderfully He arranged everything, and we don't really have to worry about anything. He is taking care of us in all respects. So when we have someone who is taking care of us in all respects, how can we possibly have any problem? That before we need, before we even recognize that we need something, He is supplying it. Just consider, a child is born, he naturally needs food, and immediately the food appears for the child in the mother's breast. Who made this arrangement? Did the mother make the arrangement? No. Mother didn't even know that how it's happening. But it happens. We need oxygen, and we are taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. If the process continued, then one day, someday, the whole atmosphere would have been filled with carbon dioxide. But did it ever happen? Why not? Because the trees and plants are taking carbon dioxide and giving back oxygen to us. Now tell me, who made this arrangement? We didn't even think about it. But this arrangement is there. Who made this arrangement? So the personality who is taking care of us in this way, why shouldn't we surrender unto Him? Why shouldn't we depend upon Him and remain grateful to Him? That's about all that is needed. Recognize what He is doing for us and remain grateful to Him for that. All our problems will be solved. Because He is taking care of us. So how can there be any problem? When someone like Him is taking care of us, how can there be any problem? So this is what Srila Prabhupada came to give us. And when Srila Prabhupada came to give that, Prabhupada saw the need of an institution to continue this arrangement. In order to properly understand Prabhupada's mission, we have to go back to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although I know that all of you know who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, but still, just for the sake of it, I'll ask, how many of you know who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is? Okay. Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Krishna Himself.
Krishna Himself. Krishna Himself came to give Krishna prema. Krishna Himself came to tell us, to teach us who is Krishna. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came simply to teach us who is Krishna. Krishna came to teach us who He is. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the teachings that He gave us, the process that He gave us, He predicted that that teachings and that process will spread in every town and village all over the world. How many of you are familiar with this prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Right. In every town and village, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction is that Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world in every town and village. It's actually an impossible prediction. It's an inconceivable prediction. Every town and village, Krishna consciousness would spread. But who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead go in vain? The words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never go in vain. Radha, when he says something, it immediately happens. Aren't we familiar with the concept? God said, let there be light, and then what happened? There was light. This world is in darkness. This material nature is full of darkness. It's a world of darkness. But he said, let there be light. And there was light. So that's how he acts. That's his ability. That's his capability. He says something and it happens. He said Krishna consciousness movement would spread in every town and village, and we can rest assured that it will happen. At least we don't have to have any, we cannot possibly have any doubt, because we have seen what Srila Prabhupada has done. It's actually the greatest miracle that the world has ever seen. In 10 years' time, Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Just in 10 years' time. And that also, he started this movement at the age of 70. He established ISKCON when he was about 71 years old. He established ISKCON, and within 10 years' time, Srila Prabhupada established this movement all over the world. In 1966, Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON in a small little storefront, probably, you know, 1/4 the size, maybe even less than that, 1/6 the size of this hall. Small little storefront. Yeah, about this long and this wide. And a few American young boys and girls came forward to being attracted by him. Prabhupada decided to start an institution. And how did he name that institution? Mind you, a small little storefront in the insignificant Lower East Side of New York. But he names it the International
Society
for Krishna Consciousness. The lawyer who was registering the society, he could digest the international part of it. But he had problem with the Krishna conscious part of it. So as a genuine well-wisher, he advised Prabhupada that please, rather call it the International Society for God Consciousness. And Prabhupada's followers, few young Americans, those who were actually there to sign as a witness or trustees or whatever, directors, they also felt that's quite a valid point. Prabhupada should name it as the International Society for God Consciousness. But Prabhupada held his Prabhupada was adamant. No. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Prabhupada said, I have come here to make everybody understand that Krishna is God. People speak about God. People show their allegiance to God. But they don't know who God is. I have come here to make them understand who God is. And that's what Prabhupada came here for. He came to give everybody the perfect understanding of who God is. In a half-joking way, while Srila Prabhupada was addressing some press reporters, he said, if you want to know about God, you can come to me.
I can tell you who he is, what he looks like, what his name is, where he lives, what he does, and I can even give you his telephone number. So that is what Srila Prabhupada came to give us, a perfect understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the perfect way to contact him. His telephone number. Dial it and he will answer. So this is how Srila Prabhupada started this movement. About 48 years ago in New York City, at the age of 70, he didn't have any means, financial means or other means, just a handful of young Americans. But then what happened is the greatest miracle. Is this the sign of approval? So the greatest miracle happened. Krishna consciousness movement started to spread. In an amazing way it started to spread. And again, time and time again, we could see that it was actually Krishna's divine arrangement. Right from the beginning we can see how it was Krishna's divine arrangement. Prabhupada goes to America at a time when America was just perfectly ready to receive his teachings. America, after the Second World War, rose to its height of material success. But American youth became disheartened, disappointed. They saw that this material success doesn't give them real joy, real happiness. Money cannot buy love. What we need is love. We don't need money. And money cannot buy love. Money can buy the commodities for our comforts, but money cannot buy love. And then that was added with the Vietnam War. In one hand, they were totally disgruntled, totally disappointed. And then they were being drafted, forced to join the army to fight the battle, fight the war in Vietnam. And they began to consider, why should we do that? Why should we give our lives for some no valid reason? Fighting in Vietnam, why? Just because of some political leaders, some political ambition. And then at that time they started to look for a positive alternative. They went in for a counterculture, and they thought that they'll find that positive alternative through drugs and sex. And practically, when the good number of American youth were carried away in that mood, which is known as counterculture or hippie culture, Srila Prabhupada arrives in America. Just the other day I was telling, had Srila Prabhupada went there 5 years earlier, America wouldn't have been ready to receive Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada went there at the nick of the moment. Now who made this arrangement? Prabhupada had been struggling to go out of India. For 44 years, he didn't succeed. Then all of a sudden, Prabhupada just makes this arrangement and he comes to America when America is perfectly ready. to receive his teachings. He sets up his institution, ISKCON, in New York, and then he sends some of his, actually one couple, to start something in San Francisco, because San Francisco was the hub of the hippie culture, counterculture. Golden Gate Park, Haight-Ashbury. And this devotee, I'm sure most of you know him, who is our very dear Mukunda Maharaj. Does he come here? Mukunda Maharaj. How many of you met Mukunda Maharaj? Very good. Mukunda Maharaj spends his time in New Govardhan Farm most of the time. Mukunda Maharaj actually played a very, very significant role in Prabhupada's mission. He is the one who got the 22nd Avenue for Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada told him and his wife, Janaki, to go to the West Coast and start something like that, find some place like that. Then Mukunda Maharaj joins up with two of his friends. One of his friends, actually, at the beginning, Shyamasundar Prabhu. And together they go to San Francisco and get a place for Srila Prabhupada, somewhat similar to the 22nd Avenue, a storefront. And Prabhupada started his San Francisco chapter there. And then it created an amazing sensation among the youth of that place at that time. And then after that, one after another center started to come up. Boston, New Orleans, Boston, Toronto, Montreal, Denver. And then these three couples, that's Mukunda Maharaj and two of his friends and their wives, Mukunda Maharaj, Shyamasundar Prabhu, Gurudas Prabhu, and their wives, Janaki, Malati Mataji, and Jamuna Mataji. Six of them now decided to go out of America. In America, Krishna consciousness movement started to grow. Now let's go out of America. Now what is the most appropriate place to go to? London. They also went there in a similar way as Prabhupada went to America. No money, no certainty, no place to stay, no arrangement, no prior arrangement. They go there. They didn't have enough money to go there, to fly straight to London, because the flights to London was more expensive than flights to Luxembourg. Those days there used to be cheaper flights. Maybe still now you get those cheap flights to Luxembourg and Amsterdam. So they flew to Luxembourg, thinking that because it will be cheaper. And then they decided to cross the channel from Amsterdam. But then when they went to Amsterdam, they found out that in order to enter into England, enter into UK, they had to show a certain amount of money. Otherwise they won't allow them to enter the country. Now they didn't have enough money to show for all six of them to go. So they put all their money together and one couple went to London. And then he sent the money back to Amsterdam. For the second couple to go. And this is where This is how three couples went to London. They didn't know where they went to stay. They didn't, you can see the financial situation. They couldn't stay in hotels or they couldn't rent a place. But some generous Indians allowed them to stay in their house. And they were also not that well-to-do because they were from East Africa. Like probably you remember what happened in Uganda. Idi Amin drove the Indians out of Uganda. And then they also migrated from Kenya. So they were well-to-do when they were in Uganda and Kenya. They were very well-to-do, but coming to London, starting from the scratch, they were very much in a handicapped situation. But they were very generous and they allowed these young Americans who were trying to promote Krishna consciousness to stay in their house. So they were staying there, but they couldn't preach to anybody. Even the Indians that they were staying with, they were not interested in what they had to offer. But one day, they saw a picture of the Beatles wearing Indian dresses. Those days, the Beatles were the most famous personalities in the world. Beatles have revolutionized the music of that time. They created an amazing sensation in the among the youth of the world. And and the Beatles became interested in yoga and they went to Mahesh Yogi's ashram and they spent some time learning transcendental meditation. And George Harrison and John Lennon was taking sitar lessons from Ravi Shankar. So this is how they had been affected by the Indian culture. So they saw them dressed, I mean a picture showing that they are dressed in Indian clothes. So they felt that they will probably be a right candidate for them to approach. But meeting Beatles were not so easy. Like they were the most famous people, they were, and they were considering how to meet them. Then they came across Shamsundar Prabhu, bumped into one of his acquaintances from San Francisco. His name is Rock Scully, who was the manager of a very famous music group of that time called the Grateful Dead. I don't know whether you know that. Probably it was even before you were born. So he met Rock Scully and he found out that the Rock Scully was there to meet with the Beatles. He was the manager of the Grateful Dead music group. So he probably had something to do, so he came to London to meet them. So when he told that he came to meet the Beatles, then Shamsundar Prabhu asked him whether he could help him also meet the Beatles. So he said, fine. He would introduce him to the Beatles. And on a specific day, specific time, Shamsundar Prabhu goes to the Apple studio. But the guard in the Apple studio won't allow him to go in because he didn't have proper appointment. So when he was trying to convince him that he had an appointment and he was trying to say that he is actually coming from the Grateful Dead group and he had an appointment with Rock Scully. So guard won't budge. And so at that time, Yoko Ono, John Lennon's Japanese wife, just drives in her white Rolls Royce. And she sees Shamsundar and says, hey, you must be a friend of John. And he said, yes. So she says, come on in. And she took him inside. And now, when he is waiting in the reception area, waiting for Rock Scully to come in, George Harrison just happens to pass by there. And he sees him and he says, "Hey, where you all been? I saw you in San Francisco chanting on the streets. And since then I had been wanting to meet you all."
Yay.
And that's how it all started. George Harrison invites him to come to his house, and they struck a wonderful friendship, and he became impressed, so impressed with Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Prabhupada went to London to meet George Harrison. When Prabhupada went to London, Prabhupada stayed in John Lennon's house. Not John Lennon's house, John Lennon's palace. They were so famous, they were so wealthy. And George Harrison then got a place for Srila Prabhupada. George Harrison sponsored Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. The printing of Krishna book was sponsored by George Harrison. And not only that, George Harrison, or the Beatles, make an album, My Sweet Lord. And that was the top of the music, I think top of the pops or something for a long time. And that created such a sensation among the youth of the world. Hare Krishna chant became popular from that. So now tell me, is it just, all these are just some accidental happening? It's all Krishna's divine arrangement. We have to see that Prabhupada was sent by Krishna to achieve these wonderful things for him, to fulfill his prediction that Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world. You know how Jagannath appeared in ISKCON? Yeah. Okay, so I won't go into that, so since most of you know. Or do you want to know
how Jagannath? We want to know.
Okay. Lord Jagannath, okay, Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco. One day, these couples came to Prabhupada with a gift. They were in a curio shop. And the curio shop, they saw a figurine, like a small little, very cute looking black figure. So they thought that it looks Indian and probably Swamiji will like it. So they brought that to Srila Prabhupada. And to their amazement, Srila Prabhupada immediately got up and offered obeisances. Then Prabhupada asked them if there were some other figures out there. And they said, yes, there was two more other figures. Prabhupada said, get them. And who they are? Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. Now, is it just chance happening? Okay. Then Prabhupada tells Shamsundar, who knew how to carve wood, Prabhupada asked him to make a bigger deities according to those figures. And they were the first deities that were established in ISKCON. Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra appeared on their own in this way. And then one afternoon, then devotees started to worship. They were having programs in the temple, worshipping the deities. One afternoon, Prabhupada came to the temple and he found that Jagannath was missing. So he became very surprised and quite annoyed. What happened? And then Prabhupada was told that the devotees have taken Jagannath to Golden Gate Park. So Prabhupada immediately went to Golden Gate Park. Quite annoyed actually, because of their whimsical act. But when Prabhupada went there, his heart melted. He saw these young boys and girls chanting and dancing around Jagannath. Then Prabhupada told them,
If you want to take Jagannath out, then there is a way of taking him out, not whimsically like this. You have to take him out with proper ceremony. And so then Prabhupada showed them how to take him, take Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra out. They rented a flatbed truck, decorated the flatbed truck, and placed Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra on the truck, and they pulled the truck, tying with a rope. And it was not a truck, it was actually a flatbed, what should we call it, trolley?
Lorry?
Not the lorry, the engine was not there. The car park was just the platform. And that festival became so popular in San Francisco that the mayor of San Francisco announced that Rath Yatra Day as a day of public holiday.
Yeah.
And this is how Jagannath came, this is how Rath Yatra festival started, and this is how ISKCON started to become established and started to take its dynamic shape. Now Prabhupada knew one thing, that ISKCON, this movement, although he established it throughout the world, but to spread it in every town and village, to take it to every town and village, will take a long, long time. It will take generations. So that's why Prabhupada was so emphatic about establishing the institution of ISKCON. He would not be there for long, but the mission must continue. And the way to make it continue, he could foresee the need of an institution. And Prabhupada actually inherited his vision from his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he started to spread this mission, he also established an institution. Instead of making it a personality cult, he gave it a shape in the form of an institution. And unfortunately, soon after when he was on this planet, his institution was so dynamic that it spread all over India. And he established 63 temples in India. Attracted the most brilliant personalities of that time. But soon after his disappearance, the institution fell apart. Why? Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the emphasis to the institution to such an extent that he told them that they should continue the mission through the institution, through a collective concept of management, through the GBC, Governing Body Commission. He did not say anything about how, who would become the next leader. He did not even say how the initiation would continue, who would become initiating guru or acharya. He didn't say a single thing about that. He simply said, you manage the institution collectively through a governing body. But they couldn't understand the importance of that instruction. They appointed an acharya. They felt, a group of them felt, that how can a spiritual organization run by a group of managers? For a spiritual organization, we need a spiritual head. So they appointed an acharya, disregarding Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction.
And unfortunately, when that Acharya had spiritual difficulty, he fell down, the institution, whatever there was left, was just collapsed. And then Prabhupada said, then first they appointed one Acharya, then everyone wanted to become an Acharya. See, they didn't fall down. The sannyasis, most of them continued. But the institution disintegrated. All the sannyasis had their own temple, own ashram. They were initiating, they were preaching in their own way. But that massive mission that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur started fell apart. Because the institution fell apart. Prabhupada told us, Prabhupada emphatically told us, don't make the same mistake that my God brothers made after Guru Maharaj's disappearance. And what was the mistake? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him to continue the mission through an institution, Gauriya Mission. They didn't listen to him. And they wanted to become acharyas. And as a result of that, when the institution collapsed, the structure collapsed. The mission stopped. Now, in a way, this also was Krishna's arrangement. Because through this mistake, the posterity learned what not to do. We saw the result. We saw the importance of an institution. And Srila Prabhupada was absolutely, most emphatically making that point clear to us. Prabhupada created the GBC body. When he started, when he established the institution, he created the GBC with 11 members. And he himself became one of the members of the GBC. Although he is the head of the institution in one hand, but to establish the importance of the GBC, he acted as a member of the GBC with a single vote. And at the same time, Prabhupada also was very emphatic about his position as the founder Acharya. Like Prabhupada, in one hand, Prabhupada was so humble that whenever somebody gave him some credit, Prabhupada didn't accept that credit. He just passed it on to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Guru Maharaj. I personally saw once some press reporters in a press conference were interviewing Srila Prabhupada, and one of the reporters were very eloquently glorifying Srila Prabhupada, saying, Prabhupada, you have done something that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness only throughout India, but you spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prabhupada's immediate response was, no, I haven't done anything. My Guru Maharaj and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did everything. They simply gave me the credit. That is how humble Srila Prabhupada was. But then again, I had another experience. In Bombay, the Juhu temple was being constructed. At that time, it was a big, big sensation there, big, big news. And some newspaper had a full page article on our Bombay temple construction. Juhu temple was being constructed at that time. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was Prabhupada's secretary at that time, he took that newspaper and he was reading out to Srila Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada asked him, who gave the interview? Then the devotee who was heading that project, a sannyasi, Tamal Krishna Maharaj told him that he actually give out the report. Then Prabhupada called him, and Prabhupada was very, very angry that his name was not there as the founder acharya. I was quite a new devotee at that time, so I was surprised. I saw, just a few weeks back, I saw Prabhupada's encounter with Prabhupada's dealings with the reporters in Calcutta, and now in Bombay, Prabhupada is so upset that his name was not there as a founder acharya of ISKCON. It took me a few years to understand why Prabhupada was. Of course, that thought came and I brushed it out of my head. I thought, well, it's not up to me to decide. Think even why Prabhupada is doing that. Why Prabhupada is angry. Although at the beginning I was a little surprised seeing Prabhupada so angry that his name was not there. That's how it came to me. But then I felt that, well, whatever Prabhupada does is perfect. Later on I realized that Prabhupada did that not for his own aggrandizement. Prabhupada did that for the sake of the institution's integrity. Because these two factors are essential for an institution. The head of the institution and the managing body of the institution. ISKCON, 37 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, is still going strong. Why? Because of the GBC concept, collective concept of management. I was just thinking of relating one discussion I had once with a very important person. He was considered to be the richest Indian. You heard of Hindujas. The eldest Hinduja is Srichad Hinduja. Once Srichad was telling me that how Prabhupada was a genius even as a manager. And he said that the concept of management that Srila Prabhupada gave is perfect. And he related to that the leaders had difficulties in ISKCON. He knows, he's quite close to us. He goes to our London temple every morning whenever he is there. Wherever he is there, he visits ISKCON temple every morning. If there is a temple there. So he knows ISKCON's history. He knows that many leaders of ISKCON had spiritual difficulties. And he knew how influential those leaders were. And he was telling that we could withstand those difficulties because of the collective concept of management. The institution was not depending upon one or a few handful of individuals in leadership. The institution was being sustained by a group of managers. So if one leader had difficulty, the rest of the body was there to absorb the shock. Or even to deal with him. Difficulties have been there, but because of this collective concept of management, the institution has remained unaffected. So this is how we saw that the importance of this collective concept of management. And that's why ISKCON is still not only united and together, but it is growing, it's expanding. When Srila Prabhupada left this world, left this planet, we had 108 temples. Today we have more than 500 temples worldwide. That shows
in spite of our difficulties, in spite of our crisis, the movement is growing. And so this is because of this collective concept of management through the governing body commission. And also another way to look at it, Prabhupada gave the perfect system. Like the temples are the unit, and the temples are managed by the temple president. That is Prabhupada's arrangement. The temple president is the head of the temple, and it's his responsibility how he is going to manage the temple. He didn't want the GBCs to, although they are the leaders of the movement, but he didn't want the GBCs to get involved in the management of the temple. He wanted the GBCs to see that the spiritual standard is maintained, but the responsibility was lying with the temple president, with his body, with his group of devotees, like vice presidents, secretaries, treasurers, departmental heads of different departments of the temple. So that again is another unique arrangement of Srila Prabhupada. This leads, this kind of gives ISKCON an unlimited scope to grow. Because individuals will take initiative, open temples as they did during Prabhupada's time, and the temple presidents are the responsible for managing the temple. Jai Shri Shri Gaurnithai Ki
Jai.
So now the Aratik. Actually, what should I do, Aniruddha Prabhu? Are we meeting tomorrow again? Okay, so tomorrow we'll continue again. Do you think it's... Should I continue tomorrow?
Yes.
Or you got tired of me already?
No.
Okay, then let's have the kirtan, let's have the arati, and tomorrow we'll meet again and we'll continue. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Shri Prabhupada.
Devi ki jai, tulasi
consciousness, his problems will be solved. Now, if the whole world takes to Krishna consciousness, will the world have any problems? What is the basic problem? The real problem in this world is that people have rejected Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Creator and the Supreme Maintainer, if we reject Him, can there be any peace and prosperity in our lives? If I go to your house and stay in your house but don't accept your authority, your ownership of the house, can I live there peacefully? And very soon you'll kick me out. Now we are living in the house of Krishna, the Supreme Personality. He is the Creator and he is the maintainer. He is supplying everything that we need. And we don't want to accept him. So how can there be peace in our life? So is it surprising that this world is full of problems today? That they have, because they have rejected Krishna. Now what is the solution? Solution is very simple. Just accept him. And especially when that personality who is not only the Supreme Creator and the Supreme Proprietor, but he is our dearmost friend. He's our Supreme Father. We are living in our Father's house, who is taking care of us in all respects. So why shouldn't we accept him? He's our dearmost friend. He's our supreme well-wisher. He is supplying everything that we need. But still we don't want to accept him. So naturally our lives will be full of. And the solution is very simple. Just accept him. And as we discussed, like when he asked you, did your problems get solved? And most of you answered yes. And why did it get solved? Because you have accepted your dearest friend and Supreme Father. Because you have accepted him, since you started to see everything in that perspective, in that light, you begin to see how wonderfully he arranged everything and we don't really have to worry about anything. He is taking care of us in all respects. So when we have someone who is taking care of us in all respects, how can we possibly have any problem? Like before we even recognize that we need something, he is supplying it. Just consider, a child is born. A child is born, he naturally needs food. And immediately the food appears for the child in the mother's breast. Who made this arrangement? Did the mother make the arrangement? No. Mother didn't even know that how it's happening. But it happens. We need oxygen and we are taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. If the process continued, then one day, someday, the whole atmosphere would have been filled with carbon dioxide. But did it ever happen? Why not? Because the trees and plants are taking carbon dioxide and giving back oxygen to us. Now tell me, who made this arrangement? We didn't even think about it. But this arrangement is there. Who made this arrangement? So the personality who is taking care of us in this way, why shouldn't we surrender unto him? Why shouldn't we depend upon him and remain grateful to him? That's about all that is needed. Recognize what he is doing for us and remain grateful to him for it. All our problems will be solved. Because he is taking care of us. So how can there be any problem? When someone like him is taking care of us, how can there be any problem? But still, just for the sake of it, I'll ask, how many of you know who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is? Okay. Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Krishna himself.
Krishna himself. Krishna himself came to give Krishna. Krishna himself came to tell us, to teach us who is Krishna. That is Chaitanya. He came simply to teach us who is Krishna. Krishna came to teach us who he is. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the teachings that he gave us, the process that he gave us, he predicted that that teachings and that process will spread in every town and village all over the world. How many of you are familiar with this prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Right. In every town and village, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction is that Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the world in every town and village. It's actually an impossible prediction. It's an inconceivable prediction. Every town and village, Krishna consciousness will spread. But who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead go in vain? The words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never go in vain. Rather, when he says something, it immediately happens. Aren't we familiar with the concept? God said, let there be light, and then what happened? There was light. This world is in darkness. This material nature is full of darkness. It's a world of darkness. But he said, let there be light. And there was light. So that's how he acts. That's his ability. That's his capability. He says something and it happens. He said Krishna consciousness movement would spread in every town and village, and we can rest assured that it will happen. At least we don't have to have any, we cannot possibly have any doubt, because we have seen what Srila Prabhupada has done. It's actually the greatest miracle that the world has ever seen. In 10 years' time, Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Just in 10 years' time. And that also, he started this movement at the age of 17. He established ISKCON when he was about 71 years old. He established ISKCON, and within 10 years' time, Srila Prabhupada established this movement all over. In 1966, Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON in a small little storefront, probably, you know, 1/4 the size, maybe even less than that, 1/6 the size of this hall. Small little storefront. Yeah, about this long and this wide.
Krishna conscious part of it. So as a genuine well-wisher, he advised Prabhupada that please rather call it the International Society for God Consciousness. And Prabhupada's followers, few young Americans, those who were actually there to sign as witness or trustees or whatever, directors, they also felt that's quite a valid point. Prabhupada should name it as the International Society.
go there, they didn't have enough money to go there, to fly straight to London, because the flights to London was more expensive than flights to Luxembourg. In those days, there used to be cheaper flights. Maybe still now you get those cheap flights to Luxembourg and Amsterdam. So they flew to Luxembourg, thinking that because it will be cheaper. And then they decided to cross the channel from Amsterdam. But then when they went to Amsterdam, they found out that in order to enter into England, enter into UK, they had to show a certain amount of money. Otherwise they won't allow them to enter the country. Now they didn't have enough money to show for all six of them to go. So they put all their money together and one couple went to London. And then he sent the money back to Amsterdam. For the second couple to go. And this is how three couples went to London. They didn't know where they went to stay. You can see the financial situation. They couldn't stay in hotels or they couldn't rent a place. But some generous Indians allowed them to stay in their house. And they were also not that well-to-do because they were from East Africa. Like probably you remember what happened in Uganda. Idi Amin drove the Indians out of Uganda. And then they also migrated from Kenya. So they were well-to-do when they were in Uganda and Kenya. They were very well-to-do, but coming to London, starting from the scratch, they were very much in a handicapped situation. But they were very generous and they allowed this young Americans who were trying to promote Krishna consciousness to stay in their house. So they were staying there, but they couldn't preach to anybody. Even the Indians that they were staying with, they were not interested in what they had to offer. But one day, they saw a picture of the Beatles wearing Indian dresses. And those days, the Beatles were the most famous personalities in the world. Beatles have revolutionized the music of that time. They created an amazing sensation among the youth of the world.
but stayed in John Lennon's house. Not John Lennon's house, John Lennon's palace. They were so famous, they were so wealthy. And George Harrison then got a place for Srila Prabhupada. George Harrison sponsored Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. The printing of Krishna book was sponsored by George Harrison. And not only that, George Harrison or the Beatles make an album, My Sweet Lord. And that was the top of the music, I think top of the pops or something for a long time. And that created such a sensation among the youth of the world. Hare Krishna chant became popular from that. So now tell me, is it just, all these are just some accidental happenings? It's all Krishna's divine arrangement. We have to see that Prabhupada was sent by Krishna to achieve these wonderful things for him, to fulfill his prediction that Krishna consciousness movement spread all over the world. You know how Jagannath appeared in ISKCON? Yeah. Okay, so I won't go into that. So since most of you know. Or do you want to know how Jagannath appeared?
Want to know.
Okay. Lord Jagannath, Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco. One day, these couples came to Prabhupada with a gift. They were in a curio shop, and the curio shop, they saw a figurine, like a small little, very cute looking, black figure. So they thought that it looks Indian and probably Swamiji will like it. So they brought that to Srila Prabhupada. And to their amazement, Srila Prabhupada immediately got up and offered obeisances. Then Prabhupada asked them if there were some other figures of that. And they said, yes, there was two more of them. Prabhupada said, get them. And who they are? Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. Now, is it just chance happening? Okay. Then Prabhupada tells Shamsundar, who knew how to carve wood, Prabhupada asked him to make a bigger deities according to those figures. And they were the first deities that were established in this world. Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra appeared on their own in this way. And then one afternoon, then devotees started to worship. They were having programs in the temple, worshipping the deities. One afternoon, Prabhupada came to the temple and he found that Jagannath was missing. So he became very surprised and quite annoyed what happened. And then Prabhupada was told that the devotees had taken Jagannath to Golden Gate Park. So Prabhupada immediately went to Golden Gate Park, quite annoyed actually, because of their whimsical act. But when Prabhupada went there, his heart melted. He saw these young boys and girls chanting and dancing around him. Then Prabhupada told them, if you want to take Jagannath out,
festival became so popular in San Francisco that the mayor of San Francisco announced that Rath Jatra Day as a day of public holiday. And this is how Jagannath came, this is how Rath Jatra festival started. And this is how ISKCON started to become established and started to take its dynamic shape. Now Prabhupada knew one thing, that ISKCON, this movement, although he established it throughout the world, but to spread it in every town and village, to take it to every town and village, will take a long, long time. It will take generations. So that's why Prabhupada was so emphatic about establishing the institution of ISKCON. He would not be there for long, but the mission must continue, and the way to make it continue, he needed, he saw, he could foresee the need of an institution. And Prabhupada actually inherited his vision from his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he started to spread this mission, he also established an institution. Instead of making it a personality cult, he gave it a shape in the form of an institution. And unfortunately, soon after his, actually when he was on this planet, his institution was so dynamic that it spread all over India, and he established 63 temples in India, attracted the most brilliant personalities of that time. But soon after his disappearance, the institution fell apart. Why? Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the emphasis to the institution to such an extent that he told them that they should continue the mission through the institution, through a collective concept of management, through the GBC, Governing Body Commission. He did not say anything about how, who would become the next leader. He did not even say how the initiation would continue, who would become initiating guru or acharya. He didn't say a single thing about that. He simply said, you manage the institution collectively through governing body. But they couldn't understand the importance of that instruction. They appointed an acharya. They felt, a group of them felt, that how can a spiritual organization run by a group of managers? For a spiritual organization, we need a spiritual head. So they appointed an acharya disregarding Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction. And unfortunately, when that acharya had spiritual difficulty, he fell down, the institution, whatever there was left, was just collapsed. And then Prabhupada said, then first they appointed one acharya, then everyone wanted to become an acharya. See, they didn't fall down. The sannyasis, most of them continued. But the institution disintegrated. All the sannyasis had their own temple, own ashram. They were initiating, they were preaching in their own way. But that massive mission that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur started fell apart. Because the institution because through this mistake, the posterity learned what not to do. We saw the result. We saw the importance of an institution. And Srila Prabhupada was absolutely, most emphatically making that point clear to us. Prabhupada created the GBC body. When he started, when he established the institution, he created the GBC with 11 members. And he himself became one of the members of the GBC. Although he is the head of the institution in one hand, but to establish the importance of the GBC, he acted as a member of the GBC with a single vote. And at the same time, Prabhupada also was very emphatic about his position as the founder acharya. Like Prabhupada, in one hand, Prabhupada was so humble that whenever somebody gave him some credit, Prabhupada didn't accept that credit. He just passed it on to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Guru Maharaj. I personally saw one some press reporters in a press conference were interviewing Srila Prabhupada, and one of the reporters were very eloquently glorifying Srila Prabhupada, saying, Prabhupada, you have done something that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness only throughout India, but you spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prabhupada's immediate response was, no, I haven't done anything. My Guru Maharaj and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did everything. rest of the society, rest of the body was there to absorb the shock or even to deal with it. Difficulties have been there, but because of this collective concept of management, the institution has remained unaffected. So this is how we saw that the importance of this collective concept of management. And that's why ISKCON is still not only united and together, but it is growing, it's expanding. When Srila Prabhupada left this world, left this planet, we had 108 temples. Today we have more than 500 temples worldwide. That shows, in spite of our difficulties, in spite of our crisis, the movement is growing. And so this is because of this collective concept of management through the governing body commission. And also another way to look at it, Prabhupada gave the perfect system. Like the temples are the unit, and the temples are managed by the temple president. That is Prabhupada's arrangement. The temple president is the head of the temple, and it's his responsibility how he is going to manage it. He didn't want the GBCs to, although they are the leaders of the movement, but he didn't want the GBCs to get involved in the management of the temple. He wanted the GBCs to see that the spiritual standard is maintained, but the responsibility was lying with the temple president, with his body, with his group of devotees, like vice presidents, secretaries, treasurers, departmental heads of departments of the temple. So that again is another unique arrangement of Srila Prabhupada. This leaves, this kind of gives ISKCON an unlimited scope to grow. Because individuals will take initiative, open temples as they did during Prabhupada's time, and the temple presidents are the responsible for managing the temple. Jai Shushi Gornitai Ki.
Jai.
So now the Arutik. Actually, what should I do? Aniruddha Prabhu? Are we meeting tomorrow again? Okay. So tomorrow we'll continue again. Do you think it's should I continue tomorrow?
Yes.
Or you got tired of me already?
No.
Okay. Then let's have the kirtan and let's have the arati, and tomorrow we'll